In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was made flesh and became the Word alive. Today, His words are being shared by the radio ministry of Clinton and Sarah Utterbach, sponsored by the Redeeming Love Christian Center of Nanuet, New York. Join Clinton and Sarah Utterbach now on Listen to Jesus.
Listen to Jesus. Say what Jesus said. Keep looking at Jesus. And do what Jesus did, and it will turn your life around. And you will turn this world around.
Hello out there, I'm Clinton Utterbach.
I'm Sarah Utterbach.
And we're in a message this week we called Submission is Serving as a Friend. And you know, the interesting thing, honey, is I heard somebody say one time, when we bring people into the church, we want to make them workers, when what we ought to be trying to make them is worshipers. Mm-hmm. Because a worshiper will serve.
Yes.
You won't have to make him serve. And so these pastoral epistles, these letters written to Timothy and Titus, were designed to show how the church is supposed to function. And it's supposed to function today, just like it was supposed to function back there.
Bob Gass kind of wrote it out today in today's God's Word for today. And he made known to us the mystery of his will. Bob asked, do you know God's will for you? That's the first and foremost and primary thing that every single Christian must learn. What is God's will for you? And then it says, what a joy it is when the will of God is no longer a mystery, for God has made it known to you. Suddenly your outlook is different, and fear can no longer play games with your mind. Now you know, and knowledge is power. Now you know, and knowledge is power. Daniel said, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And you know people that don't know God, I mean, fold up under the pressure real fast, like. There are times when you'll know things in your spirit that you can't figure out in your head. It can actually cause you to be misunderstood. You can carry the knowledge of a breakthrough or a blessing around in your spirit long before it ever happens. Listen, but we know these things because God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. When God imparts His wisdom to you, it puts you ahead of the pack. What separates the bank president from the janitor is what he knows. Both men may be equal in every other sense, but one has paid the price to know things that ultimately set him in a greater position and bring him greater rewards. God can suddenly make you know something that will change the rest of your life. He can show you something in the night that will change how you feel about yourself the next morning. In His presence, you can find out things about yourself that give you purpose, hope, dignity, and the strength to get up and fight for what's yours. Why don't you get into His presence today? Well, I started better than 20 years ago getting into the Lord's presence on a daily basis, and I began to find out what His will was for my life. Actually, I could go back to when I was 4 years of age and recognize, while I didn't know it was God's will for my life, I knew I was different from the time I was four, and I didn't quite know what to do with it because my brother and my mother and I were different in the neighborhood that we lived in. And because she had to go to work every day, we were kind of left to fend for ourselves. And when I was growing up, you only knew how to fend for yourself one way, and that was fight. You know, you fought to survive in a ghetto. But as I got older and I became confident of who I am in Christ Jesus and what my relationship with Him is, and what my relationship is with my husband, I do my very best, as much as lieth within me, to live at peace with all people, but I am not going to get out of God's will to please anybody. I said, I am not going to get out of the will of God to please anyone. So there are some people who misunderstand, and there are some people who just made, it wouldn't make any difference what I did. They have just purposed in their heart that they're not going to like me, they're not going to cooperate with me, and you know my theme, God grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the will to know the difference. If I can fix a relationship with you, if I can win you over, not to be my friend, but that we can function better with in the body of Christ, then I will make every attempt to do it. But when I know that you are hell-bent on being contrary and obstinate and all, I am not going to spend too much time trying to win you over. I leave you then to God. Does anybody have any idea in here who's one of my favorite females in the Bible? Abigail is one of my favorites in the whole Bible. Let's turn on over to 1 Samuel, the 25th chapter. Abigail has probably helped me as much as anybody in understanding some things, not only about myself, but about other people. 1 Samuel 25. Where's my page? There we are. I just want you to follow along while I read in this translation, please, if you will. We've got enough time. I think I can cover it. Oh, we're going to start at the very beginning. Now Samuel died, and Israel assembled and mourned for him, and they buried him at his home in Ramah. Then David moved down into the desert of Maon. A certain man in Maon who had property there at Carmel was very wealthy. He had 1,000 goats and 3,000 sheep, which he was shearing in Carmel. His name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. She was an intelligent and beautiful woman, but her husband, a Calebite, which meant that he was Jewish, he was one of the descendants of Caleb, was surly and mean in his dealings. Now, why this intelligent, beautiful woman would have this jerk for a husband, I don't know. In fact, I wrote in my Bible, Nabal was not sure who he was, but I sure am glad I don't have one like him. I says, my husband is an anointed man of God, full of wisdom and love for God and his people. I can't even imagine what it must have been like for her to have intelligence and beauty and being married to a Nabal. But anyway, while David was in the desert, he heard that Nabal was shearing his sheep. So he sent 10 young men and said to them, go up to Nabal at Carmel and greet him in my name. Say to him, long life. He sent greetings. Long life to you, good health to you and your household, and good health to all that is yours. Now I hear that it is sheep shearing time. When your shepherds were with us, we did not mistreat them, and the whole time they were at Carmel, nothing of theirs was missing. Ask your own servants, and they'll tell you. Therefore be favorable towards my young men, since we come at a festive time. Please give your servant and your son David whatever you can find them. Remember, he was on the run from Saul at this time, and he found himself over in this area, and it was festive time, and he didn't have anything, and he was kind of calling in his marker on this man. When David's men, verse 9, when David's men arrived, they gave Nabal this message in David's name. Then they waited. Nabal answered, David's servant? Who is this David? Who is this son of Jesse? Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. Why should I take my bread and water and meat that I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to men coming from who knows where? David's men turned around and went back, and when they arrived, they reported every word. David said to his men, put up your swords. So they put on their swords, and David put on his. About 400 men went up with David, while 200 stayed with the supplies. One of the servants told Nabal's wife, Abigail, David sent messengers from the desert to give our master his greetings, but he hurled insults at them. Yet these men were very good to us. They did not mistreat us, and the whole time we were out in the fields near them, nothing was missing. Night and day they were as a wall around us all the time we were herding our sheep near them. Now think it over and see what you can do. This is the servant of this man now coming to his wife to cause disaster not to come on the house. And this woman kicked into gear. And I love the way she handled it. After he told her, think it over, he said, and see what you can do, because disaster is hanging over our master and his whole household, which included her also. He's such a wicked man that no one can talk to him. But from this point on, this is where Abigail gets started. Verse 18, Abigail lost no time. She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 sheaths of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisin, and 200 cakes of pressed figs, and loaded them on the donkeys. Then she told her servants, go on ahead, I'll follow you. But she did not tell her husband Nabal. Now, what am I trying to point out here? There's a time when God puts people together Fortunately, my husband and I are heading in the same direction. We have the same mind. We walk in one accord with one another. But if you happen to be in a situation where you're walking with the Lord and the other one is going, well, just going, somebody has to make some decisions that's going to affect the whole household. I won't read the rest of it. You can read it later on. But bottom line was, this woman didn't bother to go to this man who was already considered mean, contrary, had already... Now, remember, David was not king yet. He was a fugitive, really, out there in the desert. But she didn't go to her husband and say, "May I have so many sheep? May I have so much grain?" She heard from God as to what to do to cause this disaster to go in another direction favorable to them. And she went on there. She got all of this gathered, got her servants involved, and she went out ahead. Husband didn't. In fact, he was back, according to the scripture, he was back home in a drunken stupor. And she went out there, and the Bible says that she pleaded with David. She said, "I'll take the responsibility. Blame me." But then a gift kicked in, and she began to prophesy over David of what was going to take place with him in the future. And what she was really doing was being used of God to prevent this man's hands from being stained with blood, innocent people's blood, because ultimately he was going to be the king. And she was reminding him, why did God use this woman? Why couldn't he have used somebody else? Because God uses whomever he wants to use.
We feel honored that God has granted us the privilege of bringing you today's message. Our commitment to share the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ deepens daily.
Listen to Jesus is heard on 5 of the earth's 7 continents, but there is still more land to be possessed for the kingdom of God. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus gave the directive to go into all the world and make disciples of men. We were motivated to do just that through the Listen to Jesus broadcasts.
If you're interested in a cassette copy of this week's broadcast, send in $6, making your checks and money orders payable to Redeeming Love Christian Center.
If you live in the United States, you may also use your Visa or MasterCard by calling our toll-free number at 888-490-RLCC. That's 888-490-RLCC. If you have access to the internet, you may listen to the broadcast at any time on www.redeeminglovecc.org. That's www.redeeminglovecc.org.
And if the teaching you hear on this program is having a positive effect on your life, you have an opportunity and a spiritual responsibility to join us as co-laborers by becoming a regular contributor.
When you give, God blesses you with a financial return according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Mail all of your correspondence and make your financial contributions payable to Redeeming Love Christian Center, Post Office Box 577, Nanuet, N-A-N-U-E-T, New York, 10954. Once again, that's Redeeming Love Christian Center, Post Office Box 577, Nanuet, N-A-N-U-E-T, New York, 10954. And remember to include the call letters of this station when you write. Until next time, this is Clinton Utterbach.
I'm Sarah Utterbach.
And we're reminding you, God is alive and well,
and His word will work for you.